Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do at VRTrader.com. That's V as in Victor, R as in Robert, Trader.com. And before I give you that special, I want to disclose that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. At VRTrader.com, we provide all kinds of educational and technical commentary regarding most of the major markets, and we are offering that discount that you mentioned, and it is at the promo code is 2022 half off. Just as it sounds, 2022 HALFOFF, and you just enter that in the promo code section when you order any one of our newsletters. Again, that's 2022 half off.
Mark, is it hard to get a handle on what the markets are doing or what direction they might be going when we see such low trading numbers over the summer, especially right now? Apparently, some people are saying they haven't seen numbers this low for a long, long time.
Gee, you still have volatility, though, and that's what you have to be cautious about when you're trading, is that, you know, things tend to move, feel a little bit more dramatically, you know, when there's less traders participating. But I'm not so sure I agree with those reports. I mean, I see pretty heavy volume trading, and certainly on days before long holidays, volume drops off quite a bit. And we note that in our commentary. Many times markets sort of change direction 2 or 3 days before a holiday just because of the lower volume. And there's, you know, guys out there who are trying to move stocks and are more likely to move things when there's less players around. So that's why you get these pre-holiday, you know, trend shifts on occasion. But, you know, as long as the price is moving and you're in the market, whether it's up or down, long or short, you know, you really don't care what volume is there. You know what I mean? So that's the bottom line. Are you making money or not?
A lot of firms still engaged in share buybacks, and yet so many people are saying there's been 2 quarters of negative growth in the U.S. Technically, that's a recession. But apparently, this panel has to get together before officially it's a recession. But what I'm wondering is, with so many people buying back shares, if there's a recession, are they going to come back and whine to the government, we need to be bailed out, we forgot to save our cash, to save our own butts? And should they get that cash?
Well, you know, the Federal Reserve in this country has been documented that they actually do provide cash to companies, unfortunately, which is outside of the original charter for the Federal Reserve. You know, I don't have all the examples, but I know the Freedom of Information Act brought some to our attention. You know, one of the most notable was during the financial crisis where they, lent money or bought bonds to Harley Davidson, for example. I mean, you know, just odd stuff that the government gets involved with, the Fed gets involved with. So, but the real interesting thing I would like to point out is, you know, you talked about share buybacks. I mean, this is the financial engineering that Wall Street has created for, recent decades just to support stock prices. I mean, companies, rather than invest in their future, expand, I'll get into research, or expand plant and equipment, you know, more eager to buy back their own shares to, you know, sort of jack up their share price. Why? Because, you know, the executives are compensated based on the share price and options that they could exercise at certain strike prices. So, you know, it's really bogus to a certain degree, the prices you see in stocks, particularly in those companies that have huge share buyback programs. And it's really, it's, you know, detrimental to the economy, detrimental to the shareholders. You know, just you buoy something up artificially and there's really little or nothing behind it. What good does that do the shareholders or the future for the company? So there are some companies that get away with it more than others, but it's just financial engineering. I'm against it. I guess if I was a director of a big company and, you know, we had a lot of money and can jack up the price of our shares by buying up what's floating around, and you get compensated for it. You know, temptation is great. Who knows? Maybe I would agree to do it just because I want to make more money, which is selfish, but, it's really a problem for the system. And it really has no bearing on the reality of the company's fortunes or business, you know. So unfortunately, that's one of the realities we deal with on the street.
When you're buying product, buying shares, you have to wonder how much of this is actually going into the company. What's the company worth? And, am I being played for a fool?
Correct.
Yeah.
You're taking company cash, you're buying up shares rather than putting it into the company itself. So you're diminishing the float of the shares in the market. And then when they could calculate earnings per share, if there's less shares out there, if assuming there are earnings for the company, it makes this earnings per share greater than they would be before. And then everybody starts, all the smart analysts out there start, you know, calculating with their calculators. Well, you know, now it's only trading, you know, 5 times early earnings, where last week it was trading 10 times earnings. Oh, that's a cheap stock. You should buy it. So it's really aggravating. I'm just something you and I can't do anything about. It's a fixture of Wall Street. Every day you read about what companies are buying back their shares. And, you know, I guess if you're just a shareholder and you want your prices to go up, I guess that's what it is. It's a money game, you know, but, the true fortunes of the company and its future, you know, could be at risk because you're not putting the money where it really should go, into its employees, into research and development, into plant and equipment, whatever that might be to improve the future of the company.
We'll have Mark Leibovitz back right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitz. Mark, what's going to happen with crude, you think?
It's going to go up. You know, we had a correction in crude. The reality is that it's going to go to $300-$400 a barrel in the next few years. We're not producing what we need to produce. Companies are not spending the money to do that in fear of government sanctions. You know, you need, what, 50 or 60 barrels of oil just to build an electric vehicle. You know, just you know, everybody's playing with it for political reasons. They're trying to get the price down short term because of the election here in the U.S. It's manipulation. We start to uptick here a little bit. We may have already seen the lows after seeing this correction, you know, from that $130 a barrel area down to the high 80s. That's enough of a correction as far as I'm concerned. I mean, my next target would be like 180. And, you know, whether it's in 6 months or a year from now at some point, and we have a lot of geopolitical issues going on. You know, we don't have to go over all of them, but a lot of wars and potential wars out there. And less production of crude oil. And, it's a buy. I mean, if I could run a little oil field and have that as an asset and keep it running, that would be a very valuable thing to have because oil's not going anywhere but up. And the shortages are going to get worse. And the stupidity out there, particularly in the U.S., creating the shortages is over the top. And the electric vehicle nonsense is over the top. Is ever going to get enough vehicle energy to really run all those vehicles they want to create? And who can afford them anyway unless the government subsidizes every electric vehicle you buy and says, oh, go buy it and we'll refund you that money or a good part of it. Maybe that'll get some people to buy it, but where are you going to plug it in? And the infrastructure is not there, and the energy to run those infrastructures is not there yet. So to me, this is like a 50 to 100-year transition, not a 10 or 20-year transition. So time will tell.
Droughts hitting everywhere, the Great Plains or the North or the Midwest in Europe, you know, rivers are running dry. Does this mean food's going to be a short commodity in the next year?
Yeah, we've been talking about this, Jim, for a couple of years about commodity prices going up and shortages. It's funny, the story you just cited regarding, you know, drought and so forth out in the West, particularly the West U.S. Yeah. As you know, I'm in Arizona, and just north of us in Flagstaff, which is up around 7,000 feet, I mean, for the last 2-3 weeks, they've had flooding up there. I mean, more rain than they can handle, almost historic flooding here in Arizona, which you would think would be like the last state you would expect. We're getting some in Phoenix, not as much as you are getting up in the mountains there, but they talk about Colorado drought and so forth, but northern Arizona, I guess the Four Corners area, which is Utah and Nevada, Arizona, and Colorado, might be getting the same amount of rain in certain portions. I know they had a whole story on TV last night about Lake Mead, just outside of Las Vegas, you know, how the lake level dropped 25 feet this past year. But just out here in local, a couple hours from where I'm sitting right now, they got more water than they could handle. So, but yeah, I agree with you. Worldwide, there have been problems. You know, we would talk a lot about geocosmics and what could be affecting this. You know, everybody cites climate change, but that's not it at all. I mean, you know, we could talk about, you know, millions of years where the planet went through similar periods and there was no mankind creating, you know, all these, pollution-driven devices and so forth at those periods. So this is a planetary event, and we'll just see how it all plays out. I mean, you know, there have been a couple of volcanoes that have erupted in the last couple of years. Some of that, you know, dust and so forth could have filtered into the atmosphere and helped create some of these problems. And some of it could be man-made, you know. There's a lot of stories about military and secret projects trying to influence weather for both cultural or military purposes in different parts of the world. There's so much shenanigans going on in the military with secret projects and so forth. You don't know a lot of it's related to that or it's planetary in and of itself. But, you know, we saw this coming, and I think, it's going to get a bit worse. So crop shortages, and we just have to hope some super volcano doesn't go off. You know, the Icelandic volcano has been active recently. And we talked about this in the previous broadcast. I think it was the year 536 or something. It was like the worst year to be alive when an Icelandic volcano went off and it threw all of Europe into, you know, like a perpetual winter. And a lot of it was attributed to the Black Death or a lot of disease at that time. Iceland could be, you know, one of the key focuses of volcanic activity on the planet. It has been. I know I flew over Iceland a couple times in recent years. We can see steam coming out of those volcanoes, and there was that big one that went off a few years ago where they redirected air traffic. There's a lot of stuff going on the planet, and a lot of it is, you know, everybody likes to think it's all man-made. You know, it's nature at work.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't the natural cycle 110,000 years of ice and 10,000 years of warm? So we're lucky to be in the warm period.
Right, those ice ages come back, you know, we can end up like the woolly mammoth, you know, they found a woolly mammoth, you probably know the story.
A baby one, yeah.
Yeah, it was frozen like instantaneously, there's still food in its stomach. So what caused something like that? Was it a planetary pole shift or something that suddenly, you know, created a dramatic change in weather almost instantaneously? You know, that happens to us. You know, we're goners. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of theories about on a pole shift, depending on the degree, what would happen to us and to civilization. But what happened to that woolly mammoth, if you could be instantly frozen in an area which wasn't Arctic in any way at the time, that's scary. I mean, that tells you our time on this planet is limited. I mean, you know, when you talk about Elon Musk wanting to go to Mars and have another an alternate place for human civilization, that's smart because the Earth has gone through tremendous changes over, you know, not billions or millions or possibly even hundreds of thousands of years. You know, where suddenly civilizations that there is evidence have existed on this planet that were literally wiped out overnight, that apparently had some advanced technology, it would just disappear. We don't know what's all there. I mean, we could be just rebuilding something that's already been here a few hundred thousand years ago, but it got wiped out because of some polar shift or some planetary event, and and then we start all over again, and we keep start. The history of the planet could be we keep starting over again every 100 to 200,000 years, get wiped out, and we have to start over again, and then we seem to come back to where we were. I mean, there's stories in ancient India, flying machines and crafts and wars in space and all kinds of stuff. It's in the Indian chronology. And their religion, people think it's just, gods and goddesses and mythology, but it could be accounts of real events that occurred at that time. So things change, and a lot of this is not talked about and it's covered up. We write history just over the last 100 or 200 years for political purposes. Imagine, it's not unreasonable to believe you'd cover up anything that you found, that's 100,000 or 50,000 years old that didn't agree with your theory about evolution or civilization on the planet. So, a lot of this stuff's really fascinating. We're just here for a short time. We're like a wisp of the willow, as they say. We're in and out. So, got to enjoy your time you're here because it's short-lived.
Mark, the gold market, do you think it's going to bounce back, or is it so manipulated no matter what happens, it's just going to stay no higher than, say, 2,000 an ounce?
Yeah, people say you're crazy, Mark. It's not manipulated. We have a free market out there. In fact, there's a story that just came out this past week. I don't know if it was released apparently in the last year or so. It just says two J.P. Morgan traders just found guilty of manipulating, they call it spoofing, the gold markets. It was a Bloomberg report, and it goes into a lot of detail, but J.P. Morgan paid over $1 billion in fines 2 years ago, 2020, for so-called spoofing the market. So is J.P. Morgan putting up their own money, or is it government-backed, which is more likely the case because the government's, according to GATA.org, have been fooling around with the gold market for years. So, bullion banks usually lease gold from the central banks at very low interest rates, and then they use that gold to manipulate the markets. It's really wild what's really going on. I mean, there are no free markets when it comes to gold. So you're asking me a question, will it go up? I guess it'll go up if politically it's what the governments want it to do. That's the only best answer. On a technical basis, you got a double top in the gold market. That's in the 2060 to 2070 area, based in U.S. dollars. And I've been writing about that, since it was started to be formed here in the last couple of years. And, you get these rallies, it goes up and it fails again. So just as a technician, a market observer, you're going to have to clear that double top formation, and where it'll go above there is anybody's guess. We'll just have to track it at that time. So the burden of proof is on the bulls. Just as a side comment, I mean, it doesn't hurt to hold some coins and be in the market. I mean, after all, countries come and go, currencies come and go, wars, come and go. But, if you look back, gold and silver for thousands of years have always been a source or perceived source of value. So having some of that in the safe or in the back pocket is just a wise move because it's the test of time behind you, so to speak. So as a trader, I was hoping we'd see more of a move. I guess for that to happen, the U.S. dollar would have to start pulling back a little bit. Seems it's so inversely tied to the dollar. And, with all the world conflicts that are brewing out there, the dollar, for whatever reason, is still viewed as a bastion of safety. So gold would have to fight a strong dollar in that scenario. So we have some in our theoretical model portfolio, but we've seen better times, Jim. So let's just see if it can break out.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitz, editor and publisher of the Leibovitz VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you want to ask any questions of Mark, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.